As ye have therefore received in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. We'll stop reading there. Our title this morning is found in verse 7, established in the faith. Or it says they're established in the faith, or we could say established. Established in the faith. Established in the faith. And you know, there's a need in our time. There's always been a need, but there's a need in our time. There's a need in our churches. There's a need in the kingdom. There's a need in the world for people who are established in the faith of Jesus Christ. And another optional title I'd thought of for this message would be Steps to Stability. But I think we'll go with this scripture here and call it Established in the Faith. We need people who know who their God is. We need people that know how to pray, how to do battle, how to be spiritual, how to help someone who is struggling, how to lead someone to faith in Christ Jesus. We need people not that have arrived at a place of no struggles, but that have learned how to face struggles. We need people that have put away childish things. People that don't always have to be playing, have to be entertained. People that are able to defend the faith. People that are able to hear a situation and open the Word of God and read some scripture that applies. We need people who are constant in character. People that can be sent anywhere. People that can be trusted to represent Christ, His kingdom, and the values and positions of their local brotherhood wherever they go. The same values they reflect at church on Sunday morning are the values they reflect when they're traveling. We need people who are ready to speak. We need people who are ready to share a testimony in church. We need people who are ready to pitch in and help when a need arises. We need people who are established in the faith. And that is my desire. And that is my desire for this message. And I want to write some words here on the board as I am. If I can find an eraser here. So I'll just write them over here. As I was meditating on this message and began to study, I was amazed at all the beautiful words that started coming out of Scripture describing God's will for every believer. And I'll read them and write them here at the same time, established, and that's in our title. Beautiful word. Settled. And we'll read that Scripture later. And each of these words is God's will for your life. Rooted. Try a different marker here. Thank you, brother. Grounded. Anchored. These are all God's will for us. These are not just God's will for our ministry. These are God's will for every believer. Persuaded. Confirmed. And all these are in Scripture, or a form of all of them. Steadfast. Beautiful words. And unmovable. And these words are the burden of this message. And if we can somehow, in this brief discussion, if we can let some of those words settle in our hearts and give us a vision for those words being a part of our life, then this message will have accomplished its purpose. This is God's will for every believer, these words. I'll just read them again, and if you're taking notes, you want to jot them down. Established, settled, rooted, grounded, anchored, persuaded, confirmed, steadfast, and unmovable, established in the faith. I'll just read through a few scriptures here. We'll turn to some in a minute, some others, but just listen to these and let them encourage your heart. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. 2 Thessalonians 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the God of all grace, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Established in the faith. Stability is found, first of all, and most importantly, in Jesus. As we read in our text, ye are complete in him. And Jesus is stable. Jesus is forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot change. He will not change. He never has changed. And the closer you get to him, the more stable you'll be also. So ultimately, we find our stability in him. We are established in Christ. Now, just being established is not a good thing in itself. You can be established in sin. You can be established in any kind of thing. So we're not just talking about being established. We're not just talking about being a person who knows what they believe, because you can believe wrong things. We're not just talking about a person who is not impeccable. I can't pull it up right now, but you can't persuade them. You can't. They're unmovable. They're where they are and that's it. Well, you can be at a bad place and unmovable. We're talking about being established in the faith of Jesus Christ. And if we're established in something else, then Lord, shake us. But this matter of being established in the faith of Jesus Christ, this is where you can park and stay. This is where you can be stubborn, if you will, even though that's not a good word. This is where you'll be steadfast. You'll be unmovable. This is where you'll stand and not let anyone shake you. Now, we're not talking in this message about getting to a place where you're unteachable. That is absolutely not right. You will always be teachable. You will always be approachable. You will always be teachable from the Word of God. You will never reach a place where you cannot be persuaded to change for the Word of God. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the key, the first most important point about stability and security and being established is where our faith is attached to. And that's why we'll now go over to Hebrews, and I invite you to turn there to Hebrews chapter 6, where our faith is attached to. We're established in the faith, and it's not just some empty kind of faith. It's a firm faith. It's something that's trustworthy, a place to hang the strings of your hammock and lay down without any worries. Hebrews chapter 6. Start reading in verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope upon the hope set before us, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And in this part of the message, my goal is simply to remind you and convince you and encourage you that you don't need to doubt. The faith that you have in Christ is absolutely a well-grounded faith. God swore with an oath, and we're not supposed to swear or use oaths, but God, for Him, it was in a perfect way. But He wanted us to be able to be sure about what we believe. No doubts, no questions, no instability. It's sure. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And it becomes the anchor of our soul. Don't be shaken. Do not be shaken. It's secure. And I'll read to you in Hebrews 10. You don't have to turn there. Verses 19 to 24. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from our evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Our stability depends on the fact that God is who He says He is. And He is. And so you can just strengthen your faith this morning. You can lay the doubts aside. You can lay the questions aside. There is absolutely no need for hesitation or question when it comes to placing your faith completely in what Christ has said and done. It's safe. And herein is stability. Here is where we become established. Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. And that's an important message because we're constantly faced with people that are saying these are just fables. This never happened. Are you sure this happened? We have not followed cunningly devised fables where we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. They were eyewitnesses. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It's a sure word of prophecy. It's not a cunningly devised fable. It's interesting, I was reading some apologetic books lately. It's interesting that people will question this account when we have so many documents and copies and so much proof. And those same people don't have a problem at all accepting Aristotle and Plato and you name it when we just have a few copies. Check it out sometime when you go to the Ark Encounter. They have some good displays on that. But the host of evidence and just the sure word of prophecy, our faith can be strengthened this morning. It's important that we're established in the faith. And as I was studying this, it stood out to me how important it is to be established in right doctrine. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. And we should read this whole passage, but verse 11 is saying He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're not supposed to be children in this area. Whenever a little wind of doctrine comes along, we're not supposed to just be blown about like a piece of paper. We're supposed to be more settled than that. And how's that going to happen? It's not going to happen unless you're in the Word of God. And unless the truths of the Word of God are fastening themselves on your heart and your mind and your consciousness, that's how you become rooted and grounded. And then when the wind blows, you stand firm because you know you have the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Don't be carried about. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And to me, it's very unfortunate how many people get hung up on diverse and strange doctrines, maybe even legitimate questions. And they get wrangling and they get to studying all these things out, but they miss and they lose the most important doctrines of the Bible. The heart should be established with grace, not with meats. We are not open to a lot of new ideas. And we live in a time when open-mindedness is lifted very high. But I just want to tell you, Christians are very closed-minded to anything but the Word of God. Don't apologize for that. We are not open to new ideas unless they're coming from the Word of God. Then Lord, help us to always be open. We're always wanting to learn new truths out of this book. But we learn to stand firm on the non-negotiables. God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. That's not up for debate because that's what the Bible says. Jesus was born of a virgin and walked this earth. That's not up for reconsideration because that's what the Scripture says. Jesus' teachings are not open to discussion in a questioning sort of way because He said it. We believe it. We're rooted and grounded. These are non-negotiables. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world and rose again on the third day. Hallelujah. And that's not something we're even open to questioning because the Word of God says so. He that repents, believes, and is baptized shall be saved. These are truths to stand firm on and not move an inch. The list goes on. Doctrines of the faith, teachings of Scripture, we're rooted and grounded. The winds blow, people promote this idea and that idea and a variation of this thought and a variation of that thought. But we have a place to stand on. If someone suggests that it would be better if we let our sisters take their turn at the pulpit, we're not swayed by that. Thank you, Medina. We're not swayed by that. We have a position based on Scripture and we're not moving. Bless God. If you hear someone say that after you get born again, it doesn't matter what you do. You know how they say you could go out, rob a bank, shoot the teller and so on. It wouldn't change your standing with God. We are able to call that heresy because we're grounded in the Scripture. If someone comes teaching that Christians can't eat meat, we're able to say that's a strange doctrine. Amen. Someone comes saying that Christians can't marry. We're able to label it as a strange doctrine. It's not the teaching of Scripture. We don't move. In the big things and the small things, we have Scripture. We listen, we're respectful, but we're not moving. We're grounded, we're rooted. But again, how is this going to happen to you unless you've been in the Word and you have made these doctrines and these Scriptures your own? They're your own personal belief, your own personal stand. Jesus warned, and the apostles, there was a big theme about all the false prophets and false Christs that will be coming in the last days. We need to be rooted and grounded very, very thoroughly. And they're even going to come. They're going to do signs and wonders. We must be careful. Jesus, when he was teaching on this subject, he said, "Lo, I have told you before." In other words, I'm telling you now that these things will happen. You will have people showing up in your midst with a strange message, and they will do some sort of miracle. Lo, I have told you before. We need to be rooted and grounded in the faith. Paul had a huge burden for this. And in various of his letters, this was a theme. He said in Colossians, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." He was concerned that they wouldn't move away. In Corinthians, he said, I'm worried that lest the serpent is going to beguile you and move you away from the simplicity. The simplicity that is in Christ. He was very worried about that. Another place he said, if someone came and preached another gospel, you might bear with them. In other words, you might allow them. He was worried about them. And he came out very strongly and said, "Listen, even if it's an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. Muhammad should have been more rooted and grounded in the faith. Even if it's an angel from heaven. You get an angel come. Listen, just in case this happens to you, you see an angel come down from the sky and is saying something that's not according to Scripture, that disagrees with Scripture, pay him no attention. Seriously. Even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It's deceptive times. But we're rooted and grounded. Amen? Amen. Lord, help us. False prophets, false Christ. Lo, here is Christ, or lo, there is Christ. Believe it not. Don't move away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Beware of new ideas and additions to the gospel and improvements. The gospel has always been simple. It always will be simple. Not simple, dope. You know, hard on the flesh. Yeah, hard on those things. But able that a child and the simplest person can understand it. Beware of doctrines and ideas that change it, make it complicated. It's not just a good old-fashioned truth of the gospel. Beware. The people throughout history have always been doing that. It's not a new thing. The Gnostics, even in Scripture, you see the apostles having to deal with many of those things. But Paul said something interesting in Galatians. He said there were some false brethren, unawares, brought in who came out privately, despised our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, he said, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He didn't even give him the main message. I doubt he even gave him an opening. Because he was concerned. How did he say it? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Didn't give space for an hour. Paul was watching out for the new believers. He knew that they hadn't had a whole lot of time to get rooted and grounded yet. And he was watching out for them. And we should do the same. You know, I think about in our Sunday afternoon conversations, Wednesday night conversations. You look around, you see maybe a group of young men. Then you see these 12, 13, 14-year-olds, eyes fixed, full of admiration on these heroes. And I wonder, are we as careful as we should be? Are we watching over these young believers? Are we thinking about what we're saying? I think we should constantly be thinking about what we're saying. And if you're in a conversation, even a legitimate conversation, and you see a newborn Christian come up, you think about, is this good for them or not? And I'm all for them stretching their understanding and all those things. But there are things that you can say that unsettle them. Be careful. Let's be sensitive like Paul was. We must be careful. It's the responsibility of pastors. It's the responsibility of fathers. It's the responsibility of husbands. But it's ultimately the responsibility of all of us to watch out for the young among us. My father was careful. I appreciate that, Dad. He wanted us to be established. We had a lot of interesting visitors over the years. They came on bikes, on foot, in buggy, by car, by van, and even school buses. They spoke English and German and Spanish and Russian and Plattdeutsch, and they were all welcome. But some had strange doctrines. Some had very strange doctrines. I remember one in particular. We were all sitting around the table, and as I recall, the man's wife was a preacher, but he was sharing his views. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it seems like it had something to do with children, little children, and how they couldn't go to heaven unless they had had an experience, whatever. And I remember Dad said that they would be welcome to come back, but we were not going to have any more family conversations. Amen. He was watching out for us. We need to be established. And if Paul could do it, if he said, nope, these brethren can't speak for even an hour, I'd say we can do it. And again, there's respect, there's love, there's humility. But we are wanting to help people get rooted and grounded in the faith. And we make no apologies for that. And again, there's a balance because you can't shield your children. We can't shield our new converts from every false doctrine. Remember, our goal is to get them rooted and grounded. Amen. Where they can identify and handle these things. But there's no reason for them to be exposed to too much too early. Peter wrote to who was he writing to? But he said, "This is the true grace of God wherein ye stand." And that's, I want to end this part of the message here by just saying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Continue on, grounded, settled, established, rooted, anchored, persuaded, confirmed, steadfast, and unmovable. Faith in Jesus is absolutely sure. And we will not be disappointed in the end. Okay, so that was established in doctrine. Let's look now at being settled when we face trials. Settled when we face trials. Because we're going to face them. And we're going to face more, I think, as time goes on. And you see Paul and Jesus' warning of those things. You know, it's very wise. They didn't want us to be unprepared for when these things happen. Like Paul and or Barnabas, someone in Acts 14, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And it is when you face trial, you face difficulty, you find out just how established you are. I found out how established I was when we went to Colombia and we started having robberies and violence and different things. And yeah, you find out quickly where you're at in this whole matter of being established. We need to be established so that we don't run at the first hint of danger. And I'm embarrassed at how much I want to just run, just get out of there. Listen, we have a commitment to Christ that is stronger than that. Deeper than that. And it's a very basic point of the Christian faith to learn. Very basic, but very important. That when troubles come, you just continue as before. Very simple, not very profound at all, and yet so important. As a Christian, when you're facing trial, you're facing difficulty, you just continue right on. You're just faithful. You plug on one step at a time. And that is, by the way, one of the best ways to become established is just being faithful over and over and over, day after day after day. And the longer you're faithful, the deeper your roots will go. I shared in a brother's meeting a little on this point, but I'll share it here. When John was in prison, he sent some disciples to Jesus saying, Are you the Messiah, basically? Are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? And that's very different for John, because when he was baptizing and his ministry was going well and he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He was excited. He was sure. But now he's in prison. No more ministry. No more big baptisms. In prison, about to get beheaded. Jesus, are you the Messiah? I mean, if you don't mind me asking. We have those moments. We have our times in prison. That's where we need to be established. And Jesus was very patient and kind to John. He said, "Go tell John, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, the poor are having the gospel preached." I don't remember what all he said. "Go tell John those things." And then he gave a message to John that I think is a message to us still. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." John, you're there in prison. Things are looking pretty dark. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." I don't know what you're facing, but blessed is he whosoever will not be offended in Jesus when the hard times come. Just let that word settle in your heart. So whatever difficulty you face in the future, blessed is he. Keep walking. Keep pressing on. Be faithful. Hold fast. Christians have always experienced difficulty. And if you end up in jail for Christ, just remember it's the common experience of Christians. Paul was rooted and grounded. He was getting ready to go up to Jerusalem. He said, "Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me." He was unmovable. He was steadfast. He was established. Don't let anything move you, brothers and sisters. from your faith in Christ. And even in the small things, even in the not so big trials, learn how to be faithful. Learn how to be cheerful. Embrace these things and keep clinging with all you have to the Lord Jesus. It's really simple. Just keep pressing on. And the God of all grace, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Beautiful words. Even our suffering, even our difficulties, the Lord is so powerful that even those things He uses to accomplish these beautiful things in our lives. Even while at the very moment we may feel just the opposite. We may feel tore up. We may feel unsettled. We may feel ungrounded. But He's using those things to settle us in your suffering. After you have suffered a while, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I think we're going to face persecution sometime more. I don't know how much. I don't know when. It's not something to be fearful about. It's just something for these truths to set on our hearts. That if and when that happens, the same Lord is with us. The same God that has helped us through our other trials will help us then. But let's just be persuaded that we won't let it offend us. Because we were already told in Scripture that it would happen. So we're not going to be worried about it. We're not going to stressed about it, but if and when it comes, let's be faithful. There'll be grace. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I pray that those words will fasten on our hearts. Okay, that was established or settled when facing trials. Let's look briefly at being steadfast and resisting the enemy. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Very important to be rooted and grounded because we have a very, very, very vicious enemy. First Peter chapter 5, we'll start in verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that, by the way, is a beautiful thing you can do to become more stable as well. Instead of carrying your cares with you for a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years, just cast them right up to the Lord Jesus and then keep progressing with life. But that's not what I was wanting to get here. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Here's another very important reason that we're established in the faith, our enemy. And I woke up one morning a few weeks ago with just, I don't know what it was, but just a burden on my heart. I thought I was going to maybe preach on that, but I'm not. But just about our enemy and just the viciousness that he has. You know, sometimes I think I forget how angry he is, how vicious, how interested in destroying you. Because he comes and offers good things, right? I mean, pleasures and different things. And sometimes we just forget his only goal is our absolute destruction. How vicious is a being who wants you to end up in eternal torment? How vicious is that? How cruel? And these things were just burning in my heart. And I was thinking, you know what? If we would know how evil he is, and if we would see the hatred in his eyes for us, we would probably be a little more careful. So we need to be rooted and grounded. We need to resist him steadfast in the faith. And I can't think of a better example than Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And how he dealt with the enemy and how steadfast he was. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. He had fasted. He was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you're the Son of God, make these stones bread." But Jesus was rooted and grounded in Scripture, and he said, "It is written. It is written." That is always a powerful tool against the enemy. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone," and so forth. Then the devil took him up, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and told him to throw himself down. And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, steadfast in the faith, unmovable, the Word of God." Jesus was secure. And there was deeper things happening with these temptations. And the first one, Satan was saying, if you're the Son of God, prove this thing. It takes some security to withstand that kind of challenge. It was the same security, by the way, that kept Jesus on the cross when they were saying, if you're the Son of God, let's see this thing. Get down off of there. Can you imagine? All the power he had stayed there. He was rooted and grounded. He didn't have anything to prove. He knew where he stood with his Father. That's security. And then the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus said, get thee hence, for it is written. He was established in the faith. Now I encourage us to use those same methods. Quote scripture, the word of God. We have an enemy. We face his darts. We face his oppression at times. We face different things. But we can be rooted and grounded and not moved by those things. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Or Psalm 1, sorry. We're switching gears now. We're looking at some more helps to finding this security and being stable. But we'll begin here in Psalm 1 with a description of a secure individual. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is a description of someone who is established in the faith. Like a tree, a big, beautiful tree. All around him things are drying up and shriveling up because of drought. But his leaves are strong and green because his roots are going very deeply into the grace of God. Beautiful. Trees are beautiful. We were out working and Andrew said, wow, that's just a beautiful tree. And I looked over there and it was a huge oak, green and nice and tall. It had roots. Years ago when Mom was still alive, she would sit up in her bedroom rocking the children, and she'd look out her window way out in the horizon. She saw this beautiful tree, and she kept mentioning it to Dad. It had like it was a fan shape. It looked like a peacock. We called it the peacock tree. But it was way off in the horizon, but she kept mentioning this tree. So one day Dad got out his survey instruments and did some shots and measurements, and it was pretty basic equipment then, but he got it figured out. And one Sunday afternoon, we got compasses, and a bunch of us took off to find that beautiful tree. We had the bearings and distances, and we walked through hills and hollers, cross country. I hope we didn't go through any private property, but just going out after that tree. And when we got there, it was a huge spreading oak tree. I forgot what the length of its wings, not wings, a tree branch span, whatever you call it. But it was huge. It had roots. It was beautiful. That's a picture of someone who is established in the faith. But there are a few principles here in Psalm 1 that I think are very important as we look at this matter of being established. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And those three things have to do with association. Association. Who you spend your time around and who you spend your time with. And this is no small thing on our quest for stability. So I'm going to talk a little about our friends, and I'm going to talk about how powerful they can be for bad or for good. And I was planning to eventually preach a whole message on this subject, but I probably won't, so I'll just share a few things now. I have listened to many young people, and I've watched it and seen it myself, that our friends are a huge, huge issue when it comes to following Christ. We want to go the whole way. We want to take the next step. We want to do what we know is right, but. And that but is many times a few friends that we just know they'll kind of look down on us. Can I just share a very hard word? Who is your God? Your friends? Or the Lord Jesus. And I think that we would do our young people and do us all a favor when we're leading someone to Christ to just say, now, are you willing to give up your friends? and just plan on giving them all up. And if the Lord gives you back a few, bless God. And if you lose a few, you'll get more good ones. But just plan as you're there, making a commitment to Christ. You're choosing friends or the Lord Jesus. That's what you're choosing. And then maybe that would avoid all this struggle later. But Jesus said some very strong words. He said, if you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. And he was hitting on the closest relationships, some of the closest relationships on earth. If he said that about father or mother, what do you think he would do with friends? So I just want to leave that challenge. It may be a little off topic, and yet it's not. The other very sobering thing with that is that, you know, we've seen friends that were together. And again, that can be very powerful for good. But they were together in resisting authority. They were together in resisting God's call in their lives. They were so together. If one was in trouble, we're all in trouble. You know, if we get in trouble, I'm with you. They were together. Together. But when you stand before the great white throne, it's going to be alone. None of your friends to help you. You'll be in trouble. None of them can speak for you and kind of cover for you and say, well, she was in it. No, it's just you. So just let that settle in your heart. It's going to be serious. You know, and sometimes I just want to talk to you young people. You see a friend trying to take a step forward, trying to move a little closer to Jesus. Applaud that step. Bless that step. Please don't despise that step. Can you imagine how serious that would be? If someone's trying to be real committed with Christ, you kind of laugh at them. And don't say they're getting too radical. There's so much damage been done with that. The Bible is full of radical commands. If you don't want to be radical, following Jesus is not for you. It's a radical life. So encourage each other. Friends, encourage each other. And if you see someone take a faltering step forward, be right there and push them on, please. You need friends that are also interested in going the whole way. You need friends that want to be established in the faith. That's the kind of friends you need. Friendship is powerful for good. For good, too. If you have some friends and you can encourage each other on, you can care about each other, you can push each other forward. Beautiful. Beautiful. Let's have that. Also here in Psalm 1, we see getting advice from ungodly people lends to instability. I think a lot of instability comes from trying to please God and trying to please ourselves or our flesh or some peers around us that are not godly. It lends to a tremendous lot of instability. You want to do what's right, but you're confused because they're not. And blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I'm not sure what all that means, but I want to think of the scornful just briefly as someone who knows the problem with everything. They know the problem with this group and that group and why this is not a good church and why your church is a bad church, why the ministry could have done it different, why the church could have done it different. But they themselves have no commitment. The scornful. Very unstable. And they will lead you to instability. Don't sit in their seat. Don't sit with them. They'll cause instability in your life. Becoming established in the faith. And if this is going to happen, if we're going to be established, settled, rooted, grounded, anchored, persuaded, confirmed, steadfast, and unmovable, we need to associate with people that have that same desire. Also in Psalm 1 is another very powerful key, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There is no quicker way. There is no better way to become rooted and grounded in the faith than meditating and spending time in the Word of God. You will derive tremendous stability from these pages. Learn to go here for comfort. Learn to go here for direction. And meditate therein day and night. it's powerful. And let's band together. Let's be together in this. When people unite, it's powerful. Let's watch out for ways to build up our brothers and sisters. You know, the sky is just the limit when it comes to just encouraging and blessing. The power of gracious words, words that pick somebody up, words that just lift them up and push them forward, words of advice, fitly spoken, words of care, promising to pray for someone and then doing it. Watch out for ways. Look around you. Let's build each other up in the most holy faith. It's beautiful. In Isaiah 41, they helped everyone his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, "Be of good courage." The carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, "It is ready for the soldering." And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. Beautiful brotherhood that they had. The one wasn't saying, "Well, I'm the goldsmith and you know, you don't have any business here." He, when it got ready for the soldering, he said, "Here you go. You use your gift." They were all lifting each other up. Let's build each other up. Let's learn how to have conversations that just lift us up, build us up, strengthen us, encourage us, establish us. There are some people that when you're around them, you just sense stability. And it gives you a feeling of stability. Be that person. Be that person. One very small but practical thing. If there's a conversation and it, you know, and we've been discussing this or that. And sometimes conversation just kind of quit on an open end. Maybe an unresolved end or a very discouraged end. Be the one to bring some closure. Be the one to say, "This is true, but yet God will make a way." Be the one to just bring some encouragement, some lifting up to that conversation. Just a few more practical things here, becoming established. A lot of it is learning how to operate more out of faith and less off of feelings. You don't feel like praying, you pray anyway. You'll get established that way. You don't feel inspired by your Bible reading, but you're consistent anyway. You don't feel like kneeling and focusing for an hour-long prayer meeting, but you do it anyway. You're becoming established. You don't feel like witnessing, but you witness anyway. You're learning that your feelings are not your guide. You feel like speaking harshly to someone, but you don't do it. You feel like eating when you decided to fast, but you keep fasting. You feel like giving up, but you keep pressing on. And as you do this, you're becoming established. Established. I'm walking with Christ currently, and I will continue walking with Christ. That's an established heart. Continuing the faith. These are just more miscellaneous thoughts here. Stability comes as we tenaciously hold to the truths of the Word of God. Get rid of all sin. Clear up the gray areas. Get rid of the question marks. Walk in the light. Now, I have one here in my notes with a smiley face. Don't travel too much. And what's that got to do with stability? But I was thinking about church life and people that are stable. And I like traveling. I think it's good to go visit our sister churches and go. And those things are beautiful. But I have noticed if you're not here ever or very rarely, there's just some instability that can happen. You're just not here. You're not. You don't know what's happening. You're not here where the Lord is working in our hearts specifically. You may be elsewhere, but you're just not here. So just hear my heart there. Let's not travel. Let's travel, but let's not travel too much. Let's be here. Let's be committed. Watch your reading material. Make sure it's building you up and not tearing you down. Same thing with your music. And be strong and of good courage. Brothers and sisters, this is the true grace of God wherein we stand. There is no other faith. There is no other true grace. This is it. Sink your roots down very, very, very deep. Hold fast that which thou hast. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, Jesus said. And whatever you do, don't turn back. Don't turn back. It's not an option. No turning back. Climbing Mount Everest is a huge undertaking. It requires a tremendous amount of expense and planning. Right now, it costs anywhere from $30,000 to $115,000. $85,000 is kind of a good middle-of-the-road experience. But you can spend all that money and planning, and you get there, you get to base camp. It takes weeks just to get all this off the ground. And meanwhile, you're not working, so you're not making money. This is a huge investment. And then you get to base camp, and then there's all these other camps you ascend to. You don't just hike up to the top one day. It's a huge operation. It's tedious. It's hours of your lungs are hurting. You're sick. There's altitude. There's amazing things they go through. And then there's that final stretch from, I think, is it third base or advanced base camp all the way to the summit. And many, many, many people turn back there. Some are just within a few hundred feet of the summit. After all that planning, after all those things, they turn around. But to be fair to them, it's actually wisdom. Because once you're at the top, you're not done. And the way down is where more people die, in my understanding. It's the more dangerous. And they say that you need to reserve at least 1/3 of your energy, I think, for coming back down. So just imagine that. You're almost at the top. You've invested months and years worth of wages. You see the top. You're 200 feet from the top. And then your guide, if you have a good guide and a good team leader, he's down there at one of the camps. He's watching you. He's watching the clock. And if he sees that if you continue on, you're not going to make it back down, he says, hey, you're done. Come back down. So close to the top. But you still have a ways to go. But I just want to tell you, all you have to do in this Christian climb is reach the top. Once you're at the top, which is heaven, you're done. You can rest. So you don't have to save any energy. So give it all you've got. There is absolutely no excuse to turn around near the summit on this climb. Once you get to the top, you'll be taken care of. Even if you arrive bleeding, broken, exhausted, dead, you'll be taken care of at the top. So don't turn around. Keep going. This is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Don't let anyone or anything move you. We're in the faith. And we keep pressing on. Like the song says, I'm too near home to turn back now. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Continue in the faith. You will not be disappointed in the end. And they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Amen. Lord bless you.